We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and again, it is the first Thursday of the month, which means we have some of our regular guests in studio, and, well, not everyone's in studio, and BAF's not. They're working remotely here still, but we do have the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Lieutenant General Retired Perry Wiggins, joining us here today. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning, Brandon. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Always good to talk with you here, and weather's changing. We've seen a little more fall-like conditions. Did you get out to the game last Saturday?
I sure did, and I was disappointed. I thought we had Oklahoma where we wanted them, and you know, I know that it's not popular to say, but I think the refs played a little bit too much of a role in the outcome of the game, and hopefully I won't get fined for saying that. But you know, K-State had them, and you could actually feel the momentum shift, and then the refs stepped in. And literally, you felt the wind get sucked out of the sails. And so I feel for K-State University football team, because I think that that game was not indicative of what should have been the outcome. And so I know Coach Clemens got them probably fired up for their next game, and hopefully they'll come out with that same intensity, and next time we won't have the refs step in with some weird call that a lot of people didn't understand. But, yeah, I was there, and I enjoyed the game. It was a great game, and I'm proud to be a K-State Wildcat fan.
The most fun I've ever had – well, I've only been here 3 years, so give me a little slack there. But it was the most fun I've ever had at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, and it was a wild atmosphere, and I had a lot of fun, too. It was great.
Yeah, it is, and I look forward to the next game.
Well, me too. We'll talk more on that here later if we have time to talk sports, but – I want to talk to you about some news that's going on in military affairs here, both locally and nationally. And we're going to talk a little bit about the government's continuing resolution here.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people, when they read in the papers that the president signed a continuing resolution to keep the government operating and avoid a shutdown, they think that that's positive and great news. And in some regards, it is. I know it reduces some of the anxiety, but for military leaders and those that like division commanders, for example, and DASMs out there at Fort Riley, there's impacts. There's second, third order effects of that, and they come in the form of training and readiness and maintenance, contracting, because they're operating on the same dollars. And so October, fiscal year for the military. Most people operate off a calendar year, where January is when, you know, things are due at the end of the year. In the military, it's different, and it's really September. That last day of September is huge, and then October starts really the new year. And without a budget, training is significantly impacted. Travel is impacted. The contracts that they have in place, or the ones that they want to let, are basically impacted. And so for commanders, it creates a real challenging and difficult time to forecast. So hopefully, as a government, we will pass the National Defense Authorization Act, the budget, and really get our military back and rolling so that they can start to forecast and not be reacting, but be proactive in regards to our military.
It seems like in the last few years we keep doing this as a nation. We get these budgets and Washington can't come to an agreement, and we have government shutdowns. It's, I don't know if this has just been something that's always happened, but I know in the last 10 years especially, it seems to be happening more and more. And they always seem to get an agreement done, but it always feels like a kick in the can down the road.
Yeah, the polarization with regards to our military politically is unhealthy. Unfortunately, we had adversaries out there like Russia and China that don't have to deal with this particular problem. They apply dollars in order to try to compete with us. In the past 20 years, 30 years, Russia and China have not ever been able to stand toe-to-toe with the United States military. If they did on a battlefield, we would crush them. But they are steadily catching up, and that's both in technology and in force, size, structure, and capability. And that's a little bit concerning to me. Every American ought to be concerned with the fact that in some cases, because of politics and because we are polarized, that it's impacting our military forces and our ability to do what we need to do, and that's fight and win our nation's wars. There's no other priority to our military. There's no reason to have a military but to fight and win our nation's wars. So when we start questioning whether we can fight and win on the battlefields, we need to really take that seriously.
All right. Well, you mentioned the technology piece, and it's fascinating. We just had here in our local news a cybersecurity issue in Pottawatomie County. They had hackers get in their system. Not sure how that happened. I know one of the commissioners spoke at Roger Marshall's event last Saturday, said it was they were looking into possible Russian hacking. I'm not sure, you know, if that's true or not. But this feels like we're seeing more and more of these cybersecurity issues. And I don't know. We've had the COVID pandemic here the last year and a half. I have a feeling we're going to see more cyber technology type crimes, incidents happen nationally, locally, at the state level. What are your thoughts on that? Is that kind of the next big thing you think coming up?
Well, that's huge. I mean, we're committing a significant amount of intellectual and monetary capital to solve the problem. The biggest concern I have, and this is my own belly button type of concern, is we now have what's government-sponsored cyber attacks. And a lot of people are afraid to say that. I don't understand why. I think if a cyber attack comes out of China and it's coming out of a military building and our intelligence determines that's the case, then for me, they got to be held accountable. We need to start holding these countries accountable because it's costing our businesses here in this nation and our citizens. It's costing them dollars, money, time, and really challenges that they shouldn't have to be facing. So at some point in time, I think we as a nation got to treat cyber just like we do any other attack and really hold nations accountable if we can tie it back to those nations. Stop dancing around the issue and really take it to heart and say if Russia or China or Iran, for that matter, any of these countries that have the wherewithal, if they are sponsoring these type of attacks, we need to protect our citizens, our businesses, and make sure that we make sure they never do it again.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and I don't claim to be an expert on the topic at all. But, you know, it just seems to me that we're hearing more about it in the news, and, you know, it hits home locally here with, you know, Pott County having that issue, and I know Butler County's had an issue with that as well.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line is banks have been dealing with this for a long time, and those are criminals and criminal elements. When they start attacking SCADA, the infrastructure, the things that operate our cities, our transportation, those are things that are significant. Matter of fact, they affect the welfare of our citizens, and we have a obligation, a moral obligation, to protect our citizens. And that's where we ought to absolutely step up as a nation and come together and say, enough's enough. We have significant capabilities. We have significant intelligence, and we need to use them in order to protect that.
Getting back to the budget here, what you know, when you have a change of administration, there's always kind of changes to how military spending goes here, and I don't recall what President Biden's agenda had on it here versus what President Trump was requesting here, but I think memory serves me right, Biden wanted a little more cuts.
Well, I don't know if the president necessarily did, but I think that there in Congress, there's a lot of push to cut the current budget that's been presented. And by the way, that budget from the House Armed Services Committee and the Senate Armed Services Committee is pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. But some of the cuts that are being, communicated by some members in Congress are significant and will impact, especially on the technology front, which based on the military strategy right now, a lot of the monies that we have programmed is going into technology, which is something we need to do. We need to maintain the leading edge. You know, I'm one of those people that I often go, when I see the air show, for example, that recently took place and China lands an aircraft on the ramp and it looks an awful lot like our aircraft. See, China and countries like that have always had a propensity to try to steal technology instead of developing their technology. So for me, technology for the United States, the sixth-generation fighter, for example, that really outclasses every other piece, unmanned aerial systems, the new generation of tank or infantry fighting vehicle. Those things create an unmatched capability on the battlefield, which means that our soldiers' survivability is increased and our ability to defeat our enemies is increased as well. And we got to invest in technologies.
Yeah. Not to mention it's really, really cool.
Well, those things are neat. And I will tell you, as somebody who stepped into the Apache during Desert Storm, the initial feedback we got, it came out in Army Times, as a matter of fact, was that the life expectancy of an Apache was going to be about 90 seconds when it went into combat. And it was proven wrong. I will tell you, we have some of the highest intellectual acumen and intelligence and research and engineers in the world, in the United States. We just need to give them the resources necessary so that they can basically build that next generation technology for our military members.
All right. We're going to step aside, take a break, and continue our conversation here with General Wiggins in just a moment. You're listening to In Focus, News Radio KMAN.